The two men who walked into Joseph Johnson's place of business in early 1912, Aver and Wayne, claimed to be brothers, and they were interested in buying a prop that Johnson had standing in the corner. Now, most of this was true. They did in fact want to buy the thing, and they were in fact brothers, but their names were actually James and Charles Patterson. The Patterson brothers owned and operated a traveling entertainment business, the Great Patterson Carnival Show. And the prop, they said, would be the perfect addition to their exhibition of creepy things. It was a lifelike figure of a dead man, and they were banking on the notion that people would pay to see it. People, they assumed, loved creepy things. And they were right. When the Patterson brothers sold their operations a few years later, the prop went with it, and the new owner quickly included it in an exhibit he called the Museum of Crime. It was full of statues, some of which were wax figures of prominent criminals, men like Bill Doolin and Jesse James. Patterson's prop fit right in. In 1933, a Hollywood director used the prop in the promotional efforts for his new film, Narcotic. It was literally moved from theater to theater and placed in the lobbies as a dead drug addict. And it looked the part, all wasted and leathery. The director, Dwayne Esper, even claimed that it was a real body and that he had killed the drug addict himself. It was all a lie, of course, one big marketing effort, but the public loved it. When the owner of the prop died in 1949, it went into storage in Los Angeles. But it was still in demand for film, and in 1964, it was rented out for a film called She Freak. Then it was sold in a batch of wax figures to the owner of the Hollywood Wax Museum. The prop wasn't made of wax, but that didn't stop the new owner from using it in an exhibit anyway. It looked too real not to use, after all. And then, it just sort of disappeared. In December of 1976, a production crew was preparing to film a scene for the hit TV show The $6 Million Man, an episode that happened to be set in an amusement park in Long Beach, California. They were filming in the Spooky Funhouse exhibit, which featured an axe murderer, multiple ghosts, frightening sounds, and the corpse of a man hanging from a noose. It was exactly the setting they had been hoping for. While preparing the set for the scene, the crew began to rearrange some of the objects in the exhibit. All part of the production process, of course. Everything needed to be in the right place, and that included the hanging corpse. But when one of the crew grabbed the figure's arm, it broke off. He said it felt like papier-mâché, and the shock of it caused everyone to chuckle. But that's when they noticed something odd. The inside of the figure's arm was more than lifelike. Human bone and muscle tissue could be seen where it had separated from the torso. I can imagine there was a very long, pregnant pause in the laughter, where the man holding the arm was doing the math and processing what he could see. In the end, a coroner was brought in and quickly confirmed that the figure wasn't a prop at all, but the mummified corpse of a man. A man, it turned out, who was actually an Oklahoma outlaw named Elmer McCurdy, who was killed in late 1911. How McCurdy's body made the 65-year journey from the Midwest to California, though, is less macabre than the reason it all started in the first place. McCurdy, you see, had died in a shootout with police in Pawhuska, Oklahoma, before being moved to the local funeral home, owned by none other than Mr. Joseph Johnson. After embalming the man's corpse, Johnson had settled in to wait for a relative to come claim the body and pay for his services. But the wait dragged on, and at some point, it became clear to him that no one was coming. Either Elmer McCurdy had no family, or they simply weren't brave enough to associate themselves with him, even in death. So Johnson got creative. He dressed McCurdy's body and propped him up on a stand in the lobby. And then he did what every business owner could only dream of doing. He put a dead client to work, paying off his outstanding debt. Elmer McCurdy, it turns out, was the ultimate deadbeat.